This evening we come to consider another name that God has chosen to reveal himself by in Scripture. We have it mentioned in verse 8 here in this chapter in Leviticus that we have read together. It says, "And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." The latter part of this verse could be read, "I am Jehovah Kadesh." I am Jehovah Kadesh. Of course, the translators have given us the meaning of this name. I am the Lord which sanctify you. This particular name is one that is very significant. And of course, we have to say that all the names of God in Scripture are very significant. And they have got great importance. And the Lord is teaching us something of himself through his names. And so there's none of them that we can set aside and say, it's not really significant. They all are important. And they all are significant. But I believe this particular name that we have before us this evening is one of great significance. Because this name reveals to us God's great purpose towards man in salvation. God's great purpose towards man in salvation. Jehovah Kadesh reveals why God does all that he does for man in salvation. It is important that we remember that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is God's work. Salvation is God's plan. It's of the Lord. Salvation is what God has designed, what God has purposed. It's not that which man has thought up. It's not that which man has designed. It's not that which man has planned. But salvation is of the Lord. We can say God the Father in eternity planned our salvation. God the Son in the fullness of time came and purchased our salvation. And then God the Holy Spirit from generation to generation and upon individual after individual comes and works that salvation out in our lives. And so salvation is very much the work of God. God working in our lives. God working in hearts to bring us to himself and save us. Putting it simply, without God's intervention and mercy in the lives of men, no one but no one would ever be saved. No one would ever come to know God. No one would ever have experienced salvation but for God's intervention, but for God's mercy. And so salvation is of the Lord. It is God's work. It is God's purpose. But what is the purpose of God intervening in the lives of men and bringing men from this state of condemnation into the state of salvation? Well, Jehovah Kadesh is the name that explains it all. God intervenes in the lives of men so that they will be sanctified. And that's why God intervenes in salvation, so that men will be sanctified. The word sanctify here has a root meaning in to make holy. And that's what the word sanctify means. It comes from the root to make holy. And when God created man, man was holy. When God made man, he was his holy creation. He was his special creation. But that holy creation has been destroyed by sin. Has been defiled by sin. When God created it, was holy. But sin has destroyed it. Sin has polluted it. Sin has corrupted it. And so God's purpose in salvation is to restore man once again to that state of holiness. To that state of purification. To that state of righteousness. That is God's purpose in salvation. To sanctify men and women. To make them holy. And so we can see this name, Jehovah Kadesh. I am the Lord who sanctifies. Sets forth God's great purpose for man in salvation. To sanctify him. To make him holy. This particular name is used no less than 8 times in the Old Testament. And God was continually reminding his people that the reason why he had saved them, the reason why he had delivered them, was that they might be holy. In fact, I believe I would be right in saying this name connected with Jehovah, connected with God, is the name that is used the most in the Old Testament. And so we can see this is God's purpose in salvation. Is to make a people, his people, a holy people, a sanctified people. In Ephesians 1, we have a chapter that speaks of God's great eternal purposes. And Ephesians 1 is a great chapter in God's word because it reveals God's purpose towards man. Why he does what he does. But listen to the words of verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The reason why God has chosen us. The reason why God has saved us. The reason why Jesus Christ came into this world and died for sinners. And God, the Holy Spirit, worked in our lives and drew us to Himself. Is that we should be holy. And without blame. Before Him in love. God's great eternal purpose in salvation is that God will have a people that are a holy people, a sanctified people. That is what the name Jehovah Kadesh clearly sets before us. Oh, it is very important that we do not lose sight of this. God's purpose in salvation. If what you have does not make you holy, if what you have does not change your life, cause you to turn more and more from sin and unto God. And cause you to turn more and more from that which is wicked unto that which is righteous. If what you have does not make you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then what you have is not of God. And we can emphatically say that tonight. Why? Because God is Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies, the Lord who makes holy. Therefore, if there is not that process in your life of you growing in grace and growing in righteousness, then what you have is simply not of God. Because this is God's purpose in salvation. This is why God saves a people. Christ says in Matthew 7:20, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." Fruits is that which the tree produces. And if our lives are not producing holiness, it is because the salvation of Jehovah Kadesh is not in our lives. As Christ prayed in John 17, He said, "Sanctify them through Thy truth." Through Thy truth. And this is my prayer this evening. In fact, I could say this has been the prayer of God's people before this very meeting began. That as the word of truth is preached, that tonight you will meet with Jehovah Kadesh, the God who sanctifies, and His great purpose in salvation would be realized in your life. As we look then at this name, which reveals the Lord as the one who sanctifies, there's a number of things that I want us to note this evening. The first thing I want us to see here is that Jehovah Kadesh speaks of separation. Verse 24 tells us this. It says there in the latter part of verse 24, "I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people." When God works in salvation, He separates individuals and people from this world so that those individuals and people might be His. Those who God separates are the special objects of His love. And that is why God, in mercy and in love, separates these people so that those people might personally come to experience God's salvation in their lives. We can think of many examples in Scripture of God separating people onto Himself in salvation. God's Word is full of examples. We can think right back there to Noah. Noah and his family. Noah and his family were totally separated from all those that lived around them. Totally separated. They were a different home. God separated them onto Himself. Made them different. And of course He brought them into the ark and they were saved. But God separated Noah out from the rest of the people that lived in the world. We can think also of Abraham. Abraham lived in there of the Chaldees, a heathen in a wicked place. What did God do? God separated Abraham out of that place. He took him out of it. As he worked in his life. And Abraham was made a different man. And he came to know the one living and true God. God separated Abraham out. He came to know God's salvation. We can think also of the children of Israel. As they were separated from Egypt. And indeed this chapter is speaking about how God has or had separated Israel out of Egypt. Now God is working in this particular time. And God had separated them. That's exactly what verse 24 tells us here. God had separated Israel from Egypt and from other nations. Why? So that they would be His people. And they would enjoy His salvation. Think about Daniel and his friends. Daniel and his friends were carried captive into the heathen city of Babylon. A wicked, idolatrous city. But in that place, God separated those young men out to be His. They were separated young men. The apostles. God separated them out from the rest of the Jews and the rest of the people. They were men separated out because God worked in their lives. The Philippian jailer, Saul of Tarsus, all these people. There is that separation from the world, that separation from their sin. God worked in their lives. And so separation is very much in view in the work of Jehovah Kadesh. Then we must ask the question, what is it separation from? What is God separating his people from? When there is a separation in life, perhaps partners and business separate, then those that once worked together no longer work together. They go their separate ways. They're separated from each other in work. When there's separation in a marriage, and unfortunately that happens, then two people that once lived together no longer live together. They're separate from each other. They go their separate ways. And so separation, or separation speaks about parting. Speaks about leaving. Jehovah Kadesh, as he sanctifies men in salvation, then those individuals are separated from something they once were in partnership with. They once were in union with. In salvation, man is separated from that which is unrighteous. He is separated from that which is unrighteous. In verses 2 to 5 here of Leviticus chapter 20, God speaks about how his people were not to worship the pagan god of Molech. Molech was a false god of the Ammonites. And the Ammonites sacrificed their children to this god. And they believed that as they sacrificed their children to this god, they in some way appeased him and earned his favor. And so they would know prosperity and blessing. They were willing to sacrifice their children. How misguided were these people? They sacrificed their children to Molech. But Israel were told they were totally to separate from such things. They were to separate, and that's what they're being reminded of here. In verse 2, it uses the word again. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again thou shalt say to the children of Israel. Therefore, they have been reminded of this before. Remind them again, Moses, that they must separate from Molech. And not only from Molech, but all the pagan gods. Deuteronomy 6 and 14 tells us, ye shall not go after other gods. It wasn't just from Molech, but it was all the gods, all the pagan gods, all false religion. God told them they were to separate. God was reminding them of this once again. You see, what God was saying to the people of Israel was, I am Jehovah Kadesh. I am the one that sanctifies. I'm the Holy One. Therefore, every other religion is unholy. Every other way is unrighteous. Every other way is the way of wickedness. Therefore, separate from that way. Notice what God says in verse 7 here. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. He was saying, I am holy. I am the Lord your God. I am holy. Therefore, everything that is in opposition to me is unrighteous, is unholy. Separate from that, therefore. Don't get involved in the unrighteous worship of false religion or false gods. Don't follow Molech or any of these other things that are unrighteous. There must be a separation from all unrighteousness. Today, men do not sacrifice their children upon an altar to a pagan god. But sadly, how many are sacrificing their souls upon the altars of false beliefs? You see, you may sit in God's house tonight and think, how foolish were these heathen people sacrificing their children to pagan gods? How foolish. But you know, the reason why they did these things was because they believed in that unrighteous way. They believed in that unrighteous way. They believed by doing this, they would earn the favor of Molech. And they would prosper in life. That's why they did those things. Why do men today think that it's okay to have a bit of religion, but don't get too serious about it? Oh yes, I'm a Protestant, I'll come to God's house. I'll read my Bible. I'll be neighborly. I'll live a good and a morally clean life. It'll be okay for me. I'm not as bad as that person over there, and he claims to be saved. He claims to be a Christian. Why is it that people use these arguments? Because they believe. They believe in their unrighteous works. That's why they use them. people argue their own righteousness because of their religion, because of something they have done. They are arguing their own unrighteous works. See, anything that man can produce is unrighteous. Is unrighteous. And all of these other religions that are mentioned here in God's word, and all of these other gods were the religions of men. Therefore, they were all unrighteous in the light of Jehovah Kadesh, who is the Holy One. And anything that you could possibly do to earn merit with God is only unrighteousness. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's what God's word says. In the light of Jehovah Kadesh, we are unrighteous, and anything that we produce that we feel that is of any merit is only unrighteousness. Remember what John the Baptist told the Pharisees in Matthew 3 and 8? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Here was men, and they were so religious, they were so upright, they were so self-righteous. What did John say? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, turn from all your unrighteousness. Turn from all your self-righteousness. Separate from that. Repent. So we see, in this separation, there is the separation from unrighteousness. There's not only the separation from unrighteousness, but there's also the separation from that which is unclean. Uncleanness. In the words that follow verse 8 here in Luke, or in Leviticus chapter 20, we have a list of different sins brought before us. And they range from cursing your parents, to adultery, to incest, and other wickedness. I read this passage tonight. I know it is a long passage, but I read it for a reason. Because this passage is a list of wicked sins and vile sins. And these sins that are mentioned flow out of man's natural unclean nature. That's where they flow out of. Man's uncleanness. These sins have all one thing in common. They speak of man's natural sinful uncleanness. Man's sinful nature. They speak of that which is within man. For they arise from the lusts of the flesh and the desires of men. And that's what they stand for. And that's what God is reminding Israel of. Their own uncleanness and their own sinfulness. In verse 23, it tells us how the nations of that were before them committed these abominations. And you shall not walk in the manners of the nations which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things. Therefore, I abhor them. Notice these things mentioned were the things that the other nations committed. They were the things that were common to the other nations. But God said here that they were to separate from them. Separate from them. And drive out these sinful and wicked things. Jehovah Kadesh is the one who sanctifies. The one who is holy, the one who makes holy. And so therefore there must be that separation from that which is unclean. From our own sinful nature. To separate means to part. We've already noted that. But are you willing to part with your sin? Sin that you by nature would be inclined towards? The lusts of the flesh? Those things that you have a love for? Those things that you would have a desire for? And that's what these sins in Leviticus 20 all speak about. The lust of the flesh. The sinful desires of the heart. The naturally sinful inclination of man. And God said they were to separate from those things. Are you willing to separate from your sin tonight as a sinner? And say, I'll be done with it. John the Baptist, as he spoke to Herod of his sin, we read in Mark 6 and 20, Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy. And observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Herod respected John's preaching. He respected John's message. He did many things. He tried to improve his life. But you know what the problem was with Herod? he was not willing to separate from the uncleanness of his sin. He was not willing to. Herodias, his brother's wife, that was his pet sin. That was what he loved. That was what he held on to and he desired. And though he was willing to clean up his life and do all these other things, he was not willing to separate from his uncleanness. The uncleanness of his sin. When coming to Jehovah Kadesh, there must be separation. Separation from our own self-righteousness. Thinking that we are righteous. And separation from our own uncleanness. The lust of the flesh. And those sins that we gratify towards. And so we see Jehovah Kadesh, it speaks of separation. Not only speaks of separation, but it also speaks of purification. It speaks of purification. It naturally flows that if man is unclean by nature, and God is Jehovah Kadesh, the one who sanctifies, the one who makes holy, then when we come to him in all our defilement and all our sin, there must be a purification. A purification from the uncleanness and the corruption of sin in our lives. There must be a process in our lives in which we are washed and we are cleansed from our sin. If God is the one who sanctifies, the one who makes holy, and we are sinners, then there must be that process of purification. Sanctification is connected to the process of washing and cleaning. And if you turn over to the book of Exodus in the chapter 19, we see that there, how sanctification is a process of cleansing. Exodus chapter 19 and the verse 10. And here we have Israel right at the bottom of Mount Sinai, and God's about to speak to them, give them the Ten Commandments. And they're to make preparation for this. And it says in Exodus 19 and the verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And then notice also verse 14, and Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. Notice how the process of sanctification is connected to washing, to cleansing. And this is all symbolic, of course, here. The people were being taught that God is holy. And God is righteous. Go and wash yourself. In other words, they in themselves were defiled. They were unclean. If they were going to hear God speak, if they were going to receive His holy law, they must make preparation. They must be clean. They needed to have this process of purification in their lives. And God was symbolically teaching the children of Israel here that He was holy. That they in their sin were not acceptable to Him. In salvation, Jehovah Kadesh purifies his people, we can say, in a twofold way. And this twofold way is very clearly brought before us in one verse of Scripture in the New Testament. And I want us to turn to that verse of Scripture. It is Titus chapter 3 and the verse 5. The book of Titus is the book that follows 2 Timothy. And it's almost before the book of Hebrews. There's just Philemon in between. But Titus chapter 3 and the verse 5. We have here the twofold description of the purification of the work of Jehovah Kadesh in our lives. It says there in Titus 3 verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Notice here, Paul tells us the reason why we're saved or cleansed from our sin is not our own righteousness. And he makes that clear first of all. We're not saved by our own righteousness, not by works of righteousness that we have done. So we can rule that out. Forget about it. We cannot make ourselves clean. We cannot purify ourselves. Not by works of righteousness that we have done. But Paul says here, according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Here we see the work of purification. God purifying a sinner. Jehovah Kadesh coming and cleansing a man from his sin and his wickedness. The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We can say we have a twofold work here. Firstly, we see regeneration. As it is described here, it is described as the washing of regeneration. In other words, regeneration It cleanses us. It purifies us. What is regeneration? Well, regeneration means new life. Another word for regeneration is the new birth or being born again. That's what regeneration is. We all know the story in John 3 about Nicodemus. He was born again. He was regenerated. And that's what regeneration is. It is being born again. What takes place in the life of an individual when they are born again or regenerated is they receive new life, a spiritual life. And that spiritual life has a nature that is different to anything that individual has ever known before. As we've already noted, man is born in sin. He's born with an unclean nature. Leviticus 20 testifies to that fact. Man by nature has an unclean nature, a sinful nature, a wicked nature. Peter talks about the sow that was washed returning to wallow in the mire. Why does the sow return to wallow in the mire? Because it's got that nature. It's got that nature. It doesn't matter how often you wash the sow or how you dress the sow up, it will still go back to wallow in the mire because it has that unclean nature. But you see, when God, by His Spirit, brings about the work of regeneration, what happens? That person is born again. And God gives to that person a new nature. A nature not like nothing that person has known before. And this new nature, what does it do? This new nature, it loves God. It loves righteousness. Therefore, the work of regeneration speaks about cleansing, for it deals with the old sinful nature, the uncleanness of the old sinful nature. And it implants a new nature that seeks to be holy and righteous, godly. Therefore, it is a cleansing. It is a washing. A real washing. Dealing with the old sinful nature that is unclean and a new nature that is holy and inclined towards God. Who can men receive this washing of regeneration from? Jehovah Kadesh. Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Only God can implant life, spiritual life within the soul, holy life within the soul. Only God can do that. And my friend, we are shut into this great reality tonight. That only God can come and bring life into our souls. We are spiritually dead. We are incapable of earning salvation because we are in that state of deadness. And we need life, spiritual life. We need to be born again. This is the work of God, the Holy Spirit. The work of Jehovah Kadesh. A pig cannot change itself into the nature of a dove. Neither can a sinner change himself into the nature of a saint. It's an impossibility. Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He was a religious man. But he told Nicodemus he needed the work of God's Spirit in his life. You know, born again, being regenerated, it speaks about a definite time in the life of an individual. And that's what it speaks about. It's not a process. Not a process of going through certain things or of attending a church or doing this, that, or the other thing. Being born again is a definite time in the life of an individual. When we were born at a particular time. The time of our birth is recorded. We were born. When we're born again, it speaks about a definite time. A definite time when God moves in a person's life and implants spiritual life within their soul. And so we see this process of purification here. The first aspect is regeneration. Then also in Titus 3 and 5, we see here, it speaks also of renewing. Renewing. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The word renewing literally means renovation. That's what it means. The process of renovation is one that happens not instantly, but over a period of time. It's a process. The renewing is a renovation is a process that happens over a period of time. I'm sure if you have ever had your house renovated, you will know it is a process. A long process, a tedious process, and everything's chaos. All the old and things that we want to change have to be taken out, and then the new things are all brought in. See, what Paul is saying here is, we are saved, we are purified firstly by regeneration, that act when we are born by the Spirit of God. And then secondly, once we are regenerated, the process of renewing begins. The process of renewing begins. The process of renovation in our lives. That new life within us, it grows and it matures. And we become more and more like Christ, and we die more and more to sin and live more and more unto righteousness. And then we bring forth the fruits of righteousness in our lives. It's the work of renovation, the work of renewing. And this is how the Holy Spirit, this is how Jehovah Kadesh works in our lives. How he purifies us. And so therefore, we continually are made more and more like Christ as soon as we are regenerated. Then that life grows until we get to glory. And we are changed, and we continue to be changed as we grow in grace. We are renewed every day. These two things always take place. And they always take place in this order. Regeneration. And then renewing. They always take place in that order. We are never renewed or renovated and then regenerated. That's man's order. God's order is spiritual life. And then we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Christ, and we are changed. And notice as well, these two things always take place in the life of the individual who has come to know God in salvation. They always take place. Therefore today, or tonight, if you claim to be born again, if you claim to be regenerated, there must be that process of renewing in your life. There has to be. Because these things are always connected. That's what Paul is saying here. The washing of regeneration, we are saved by the washing of regeneration and renewing. Not just by being born again. And these two things are connected and they always take place. They always take place. The question we must ask is, are we dying to sin every day? Living on to righteousness. You know, Paul told the believers in Corinth after reminding them of their sin, and he listed all their sin. And he said this to them afterwards, "But ye are washed, ye are sanctified." There we have that twofold process. Ye are washed, ye are regenerated, and ye are sanctified. Could those things be said concerning you in the light of your sin tonight? You're washed. You're regenerated. Jehovah Kadesh speaks of purification, cleansing. Jehovah Kadesh speaks of separation from that which is unrighteous and unclean. Then finally, notice with me, Jehovah Kadesh speaks of identification. In Leviticus chapter 20, on a number of occasions, God, as he speaks to his people through Moses, identifies them as his people and he to be their God. In verse 7, he reads, "Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." Notice God is identifying with them. Verse 24 says in the latter part, "I am the Lord your God." Verse 26, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine." What is God doing? God is identifying himself with these people. The reason why God identifies himself with these people is because he is Jehovah Kadesh, the God who makes holy, the God who sanctifies his people. Verse 7 tells us, "And be ye holy, be ye holy." Therefore, when these people are made holy, God is pleased to identify with them. God sanctifies them, he makes them holy, and therefore he is pleased to identify with them. He is pleased to own them as his. And they to own him as their God. Jehovah Kadesh, the God who sanctifies, speaks very much of identification. Praise God tonight, God is pleased to identify himself with us. That's the most tremendous thing. God is pleased to identify himself with us. We sing the hymn, "I'm not ashamed to own my Lord." But God is saying here, "I'm not ashamed to own you. You who are saved. You who have had this work of Jehovah Kadesh in your life." We can say that Jehovah Kadesh is not ashamed to identify himself with his people because they are His peculiar, His purchased possession. Because His people are His purchased possession. Verse 26 tells us what God did for Israel. For I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people that ye may be mine. God severed Israel from Egypt and from the other nations in the land of Canaan just so that they would be His. The other nations were wicked, but God said to Israel that they would be His. And so He severed them from them to make them His holy and His purchased possession. How did God sever His people? Sever means to cut off. How did God sever His people or cut His people off from the rest of the nations? Do you know how God did it? He did it by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. Remember in Egypt, the Passover night? That was the night God severed Israel from other nations and made them His. The Israelites come out of Egypt through the shedding of the blood. Those that placed their faith in the blood were severed from Egypt to be the people of God. You know, let me say this tonight. God is never ashamed to identify Himself with any man that has his faith in the blood of Christ or in the work of Christ. If tonight you're trusting in what Christ has done, if you're trusting in the precious blood of the Lamb shed for sinners, shed for our cleansing, shed for our deliverance from sin, shed so that we'll be severed from our sin, and severed from this corrupt world, severed from the family of Satan, brought into the family of God. If you're trusting in that blood tonight, God is not ashamed to identify Himself with you. He owns you to be His. The people of God shall be identified in the judgment as those which have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's how they're identified. They're identified by the blood. Israel were severed to be God's people by the blood. And that's how God would sever us from our sin. Jehovah Kadesh is not ashamed to identify Himself with His people because they are His purchased possession, but also because they are His peculiar treasure. His peculiar treasure. Revelation 21 and 27 speaks of heaven. And it says this, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Notice how God says nothing or no one will get into heaven that is defiled or works abominations or is a liar. In other words, those that are still in the uncleanness of their sin, they will not be accepted. They will not get into heaven. But those who know Jehovah Kadesh, Jehovah Kadesh's work in their lives, the God who sanctifies, they will enter in. Their names are written in the Lamb's book of life. They are God's peculiar treasure. Though that treasure that He has taken and He has cleansed. And so therefore, He is happy to identify Himself with them. God has a place prepared for those who are His. And they will be with Him for all eternity. A place only for His people. Is that your hope tonight? It is only a hope that you can have if you know Jehovah Kadesh, the God who sanctifies. Is the Lord the one who's working in your life? Is God's purpose in salvation? Has it been realized in your life? Is it being realized in your life? Perhaps we should say. Are you being changed day by day more like Christ? And saved more and more from your sin, from its corruption, from its defilement? That is the purpose of God in salvation. The God who sanctifies. Maybe tonight, you perhaps made a profession many, many years ago. But as you look at your life, there's really been no change. No change whatsoever. You're just carrying on and You made a profession, but there was really nothing in it. You have no love for Christ. No desire to walk in fellowship with God. Let me say, this is God's word to you tonight. I am Jehovah Kadesh. My purpose is that you might be changed. If you come to this God tonight, there is mercy. And there is forgiveness. And there is grace. And you can be cleansed. I would exhort you to come to Him tonight. Seek the Lord. And know the great work of Jehovah Kadesh in your life. May God bless His word to our hearts for His own name's sake. Amen.